together here.
Good luck. Well, think about actually getting together. We may not actually get back together, but we all think about it.
Okay, Tom. For all the cats.
All right.
I know it's warm in here.
All right, Tom's pulling us back in.
Let's go. Let's see if we can make it together
again if he stays.
Nobody wants to come back.
We got that 10%. We got a point of view.
We got a Dorcas case here.
What I mean?
On the other hand, you know, you got owners who brought up.
He came in and bought the team.
I'm here to learn.
So how's it going,
Robert? We're on opposite sides of this fence, together because we have rather different views.
I want to make sure your company is doing. This is a good reflection of what your company was like, and as Robert Johnson here.
Anyway.
No, unfortunately, when they had their exit, I wasn't. I wasn't a big participant.
Okay. That's sometimes you just miss those kind
winners
of opportunities.
And losers.
So as I said, what we want to do is hear kind of a snapshot of what did you come up in terms of either findings or conclusions or questions that you would want to talk about, and we'll kind of hear it from each one of the groups, and then open it up, and we'll do a little bit of, and we'll let the expert here share his wisdom and knowledge and wit. This group said that they had the answers, so I'll let you guys kind of blame the lead off.
All right, so I will describe, and then they can jump in and correct.
They will.
Thank you. So I would say that we were a little bit split, and some of us felt very much that these gentlemen now had a gun to our head. That was not a wonderful way to try to negotiate.
Right.
So that made us uncomfortable. So there was one school of thought, which was, let's see if we can reset and pull back from the brink of, whatever it is, and try to negotiate something with them, which would include perhaps more money, perhaps some other incentives, perhaps also some non-compete agreements, and that was one side. And then there were others, and I will say me, who said, screw the guys, this does not make me happy when somebody comes with a gun and says, I would be fine if they said, look, you've changed the rules. We really had an expectation this was going to happen, that we were going to have a payday. We all came on that premise. That's changed, so we want more money. We've done a study, and someone great did the study. Here's what we're asking for. And then stop talking.
I like the particular point you said that the person that did the study was a great organization.
Thank you.
Study.
Thank
just,
you.
Just thought I would share
you.
That with
thank
you. Thank you, Roberta. Go keep going on.
But then just stop. There.
Tom,
and
it's
that
a
would
fiction.
And that would have been,
so am I.
That would have been better.
So it's compensation.
That next step.
That's good. That's good.
If you don't.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
So that, as I said to the group, I've had issues where people come to me with a salary demand.
Right.
Match this or
right.
else. That person is not going to be there 12 months from now,
right.
even if you match it.
They've already
they're gone.
Checked out.
And that's what I think is happening here. So.
Yeah, Mike.
Did I capture it?
Yeah. Anything else you can add by the group?
You just captured your part of it.
Oh, you don't think I captured your part?
I'll get to my order report.
Yeah, please do.
This was by no means an example of a disgruntled employee, a key employee, trying to negotiate for a better deal. This is a group of four guys who came in here 4 or 5 years ago to a company that was unwinding very quickly, losing key customers, a non-starter in terms of technology, and it was a family that really, to put it mildly, was desperate. And they lost the founder, CEO, and they were directionless. And so they managed to get, I think, very fortunately for them, some guys who were very simpatico with the people who were there. They formed, obviously, a very strong relationship with others who were in place. There were...
the HR, product management, some people who were existing people.
Yeah, some really key positions.
Yeah.
And obviously, they worked very closely together. No remark about any internal issues here. For 4 years, the little table in the back has a very impressive average summary of stats for what happened in the 4 years. And so now that the life is rejuvenated, the heart and circulatory system of the sperm, the family said, well, actually, we decided, you know, that business about expecting to sell it in 2018 and you guys getting a big payout for the 10% that we're going to give you, that's not going to happen.
We'll
so I think these guys are just angered by the suddenness rather than trying to stage a brinksmanship negotiation with the principals of the firm.
So what would you do?
Thank you, thank you.
What I would do is hire Tom and Les to do a fairness compensation study. Yeah. These guys have not had fair compensation because they came here with the hope of the carrot at the end of the stick. The little string has been cut on the carrot. So let's bring in an objective group of people to say, what are the fair and equitable compensation system would be for the C-suite at this firm, and then let's let the owners and the executives look at that with us and see if this is accommodating everybody's needs.
Good. Okay, that's great. Before we get all the answers, we want to hear from some of the other people.
So let's go to that group in the corner. Are you guys at Brain Trust? Is that what you heard of this?
For the corner, does anybody want to
I'll try and you correct me if I'm wrong. So we had a discussion, and I think where we ended up sort of was that, you know, as the board looking at trying to balance the family with having this younger generation come up that they didn't exist when this team was hired. But they had this team who obviously did a great job of what they were hired to do. Board is kind of the moderator, needs to be objective here. And in some way, to figure out a way to honor the 10% commitment to the team that was there, you could have the company value, you could do something to honor that, despite the fact that it's not going to be sold. Have more dialogue to understand these employees' plans and needs. Are they going to stick it to them and leave anyway, or are they not damaged enough in their relationship with the management family that they could be rehabbed in a way into, staying and continuing with maybe the knowledge that the younger generation is going to supplant them. But we don't know what their plans are. They may be at the point where they just said, time's up, and then maybe to create some type of, once you have that knowledge, create some type of updated executive comp plan that
Suzanne, part of the thing is to dial down the temperature and then get something.
One other comment is that this really looks like a situation which has a very, should have a happy ending.
Uh-huh.
You brought in a management team
that
has done exactly what you hired them to do.
Yep.
They've created value in the business just like you wanted them to.
Correct.
I mean, how can you not be happy if you're the owner? Well, they're not happy because they came in, I'm going to work for 2 years, we're going to make a lot of money, boom. Well, it seems to me the ownership and the board ought to encourage the owners to say, look, we offered up 10% of something, we thought we were going to be paying out something. Whatever that number is, we ought to find a way to get it to them.
Mm-hmm. Now or in the future?
Well, it depends. It seems to be written as if they have a short-term need for cash, and that was the deal. They came in, we're going to do this in a short term. It needs to be done with a consideration for what their expectations were, given they've done everything plus something of what you asked them to.
Okay.
And if they...
Expectations and plans.
Yeah. And then, going forward, if you don't sell the business, well, they never expected to stay anyway. So if you found a way to give them what they were entitled to, quote-unquote, great. But if you're happy with them and don't want to sell the business, you would therefore think if you're going to live up to the commitments you already made, you sure as hell ought to be able to find a way to develop a long-term compensation plan that would, again, be mutually advantageous.
Right.
And companies, and you know, you don't know really what their interests are.
Yep.
But it would seem that this is not a situation where there ought to be animosity
right.
or issues.
Exactly the story.
They've created a tremendous amount of value as they were hired to do. You ought to be able to find a way to slice up the pie.
Yeah. Good. Thank you. So let's, you guys want to go?
Yeah, just quickly.
Yeah.
I think there have been a lot of eloquent ideas expressed. We're looking at it from a point of view that certainly the management team must feel very disappointed and shortchanged. So they definitely have hurt feelings. We think that bringing up their current comp, having an official study done on, from the company's point of view, the board's point of view, is probably necessary. And if you brought it up to normal, that would be like an additional $400,000 a year, which, okay, it's an annual expense, but it would cost a lot to go out and find
legal fees, what would the search fees to hire Larry to hire a new CEO, what would he charge? Would that be?
That's exactly
that'd be
right.
400 grand all by itself.
At least.
per client.
Per person, right.
And it would be very disruptive
yeah.
to the organization. Great loss of customers, and a great loss of money and ongoing value in the company. So it was our thought to keep the management team because.
How far would you go?
Well, I think we'd go up
to double. You guys are saying, hey, double
no,
my comp, give
no,
my double
we were,
my cash.
We were talking about you know bringing them up on the current comp
yeah.
up to something like you know 90 to 100% of
yeah.
of market. They still have a bonus structure in there, and presumably they put on a lot of debt, which that's, I mean the company isn't that much money, and if the head sold the company making $2 or $2.5 million, there's only
yep.
$2.5 million is going to go in the pool if you sell a company 10 times earnings.
Yeah.
So
yep.
the pool isn't that big of a carrot split five ways.
Right.
And but nevertheless, that's what they really joined for. So we think that they should have some kind of ownership or profit interest or some kind of ownership piece that isn't necessarily absolute shares in the company, but something that represents
yep.
10%, and some kind of a vesting schedule, four
yep.
years, 3 years.
To retain right. them.
What?
To retain them.
To retain them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Anything else you guys want to add?
Wait, don't, before yeah. you argue, let go to the other group.
Yeah, okay.
I just wanted to add one thing. It's sort of separate
Thank
from
you.
All of these points and the plan, you know, whatever plan comes out of this. Just looking at the moves that were made in the course of this saga, it seems like the family made a unilateral decision without a lot of discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It then seems like the management team made a unilateral decision on how to respond without a lot of discussion. It seems like there are a lot of communication and trust issues here
mm-hmm.
that
this is a very unusual case study. It just never really happens in the real world, so he has a really good point. Let's hear from the other group.
Did That's you great. Say that with a straight face?
I did, didn't
no,
I?
Yeah,
I should be a stand-up comic. But so. With the other group in the corner. Thank you. That point's a really, really good point.
I think we agreed with pretty much what everybody said. These guys may or may not stay. You got to assume they're going to leave at some point. So then you structure something on the assumption that they may leave. And to us, what would make sense would be get the Wilson Group in, find out what's the median, you know, for a base salary. Probably we recommend that they get phantom shares. And the phantom shares be based on kind of an average value over a 3-year period. So we don't want them focusing on next 12 months, but we want to focus 3 years. Obviously, we want, in return for that, they have to sign the non-compete.
Right.
The we discussed that too.
I noticed
yeah.
shame
yeah.
on us that we didn't have that at the beginning. I'm not sure how to say this, but if this CEO brought in all of his people,
mm-hmm.
and all of his people may all leave at the same time, the board put itself in a the risky situation that it should not have put itself in. And, you know, I think for any future hirings, they want to make sure that they go through a process and not just bring in someone who happens to be.
Did it say that? The whole premise was they were going to sell the business.
Right.
Yeah.
But now the premise is different.
Yep. They weren't necessarily, he didn't come from the other companies, but there were some buddies, because you can't hire people that quickly, get them up to speed, right, if you haven't worked together before.
Right.
So there's that good point. So Larry's point, there probably were a number of relationships.
But certainly, longer term, you know, I totally agree with where you're going with this. There's some sort of communication issues,
right,
where the board sort of announces, right, to the management, hey, we're doing things differently, and management wasn't involved, and now so the management is now doing to the board what the board did to them.
Yeah.
And this is not very healthy.
Yeah.
So my assumption is these guys are not going to be around in a year.
Yeah. Unless you can rebuild it, and that's the issue.
It occurs to me, my read is, I'm now on the board, and I've got family, I've got my kids involved in,
yeah,
this business, and we're trying to groom them.
Yep.
It seems to me that we have to figure out what our exit plan is, if we are going to have one in some period of time, and then figure out the compensation scheme. Because, for example, if we family members don't want to sell this business because we want the next generation to run it for some period of time and to make a livelihood out of it, I mean, if I sell this business at 10 times, and let's say I get to a $4 million, this is not a huge payday for everybody. You know, my family and my kids are not going to be able to retire and go live in Monaco.
Right.
So it seems to me that if we don't figure out what we want to do and what our exit plan might be, it's going to be hard, because we're talking about short-term compensation.
Yep.
And if the expectation is, we guys are going to have an exit sometime soon. I'm Robert Johnson, the CEO. But now we're not going to do that.
Right.
What kinds of things can I potentially trade, and what kinds of things can I get this for to do to say, okay, you're going to grow top line to $150 million over the next 4 years,
mm-hmm,
with X EBITDA,
mm-hmm,
and this is how we're going to comp you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the whole 10% thing, let's just remove that, because I don't think we want to sell this business now. I think we have to decide what we want to do before we have that conversation.
Yeah.
But I think that those things are pivotal.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, we're going to keep having this, are you selling, are you not selling, is it next month, is it next year, is it 2 months from now? And I think to Chris's point, you know, we got to get on the same page, because,
yeah,
if these guys go, we got a big problem in the short term. This could get back to Mike's point, where I'm going backwards again.
Well, I think it's two things. One of it, yeah, absolutely right. What's our strategy? What's our long-term vision? Where are we going to go with this company? Back in 2012, 13, they were desperate. They got the team in place. The ship has been righted. It's okay. It's not great. But Les has got some interesting opinions I want to share with you. Again, turn over to him in a few minutes. But one of the other question is, who are these people? I had a client asked me one time, the private company, and they were hiring a CEO. And they said, how do we put together a comp plan for the CEO? And I said, let me ask you a question first. Who is this guy? It'd be a guy. Is he a hired gun? Or is he an adopted son or daughter? How you answer that question will put together a plan. But you have to answer that question first to begin to really understand how you want it to get. So the question with these guys, they've been foster parents, you know, the owners have, for a while. The person has turned in and they've created some value, maybe not as much as they think they have, because there's some other little tricks here, you know. But they think they've created enormous value. So we have to maybe do a little bit of trimming the sails on this thing. But then the question really is, who do they want them going forward to build an issue you're talking about, right on? How do we either rebuild the trust or say, hey, you know, it's a lost cause and a sunk cost, and let's not involve with it, or how do you, it's a cause. So this is all intertwined. Now my colleague on my left here has the interesting insights about this case. You want to share those?
About this case. Literally, Don doesn't know this, I ran into this 4 months ago on a board I was on. So for me, when I read this, I said, how does he know all this?
It's a very unusual situation. Yes.
So let me ask the gray-haired guy at the end there a question. What you said is the board hasn't been doing due diligence when the CEO hires all his friends to run the company. I think, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm on a lot of company boards, Carl and I, and when the new CEO comes in, they bring their friends. They bring people they know who can be successful. And yes, you're somewhat at risk, but you also have a better, faster startup when they bring in all people they know and trust and have worked with. So I don't think the board has been less diligent than they should be because the team is together. We could disagree, but I wanted to make sure. I've seen this situation a lot. That's number one. Number two is we talk about whether they have delivered value over time. I guess I'm looking at a different set of numbers than everybody's looking at. Because I look at a company that had one good year, and then all of a sudden the expenses went up in the following year, and as my good friend the compensation expert said, yeah, they needed to make bonus last year. Probably right.
It never happens either.
But what I'm really worried about if I'm an owner of this business is discounts and allowances have gone up a whole lot, out of proportion to everything else. Now, as a director, my nose starts to twitch a lot when revenue's way up, profits are way down. We had one good year. So the value of this company did not go up in the last year. Matter of fact, it went down a great deal because debt is way up.
Well, so how did the shareholders' equity go up by $5 million in the last year?
Did they put equity in? I don't know the answer.
I'd rather doubt that.
All I can do is look at the numbers that are in front of me, and you've absolutely raised a number which is on the opposite side. Okay? But I know that at this company, if I look at this company, how much would you value this company for?
Well, discounts and allowances have gone up very strongly, but look at net sales. It's a steady 10% increase. Look at the
And how much
from operations.
So all I'm saying is my nose is twitching. I have no answers. When I see discounts go up 40% and revenue goes up 13%, my nose twitches. Something doesn't seem right to me, especially when profits tanked, in my opinion. We had a company with one good year. So if I look at what's this company worth, how much would you pay for this company, any of you?
I mean, the margins stink.
Margins stink.
Yeah.
How much would you pay? Don't give me your rationalization, I'm not asking.
Six times,
okay, so let's do some numbers. Times two million or 2.5 million, 12, 13 million, less
the debt.
Is 9 million? What was the company worth when they took it over? I'm not sure they've done a great job. That's bucket A. Bucket B is we're having a gun to our head. So if you want to keep them, I would pay them some part of the bonus or agree in 3 years if you're here, I'll give you the money I promised you. 10% of what we think the company's worth. If you want a valuation, like we hired him, okay. If you think they'll stay. But they have to be here, sign the non-comp, and I'll agree to pay you $1,200,000 if that's what the numbers work out, the end of 3 years, and I take the risk.
So if you're an executive, would you take the deal? Put yourself in the exact chair.
And I put my comp back up to normal. They've taken the reductions.
So you have increased the comp.
Yeah. That's fine. It's no money.
Yeah.
No money.
Yeah.
So I would do that. Third, I'm with you. I was at this situation and you can't trust management. I don't mean they're doing something that they think is wrong, but if you're a board member and you have a gun put to your head, because that's what this is, it's what you call
extortion. Executive extortion.
Okay. I think these are guys who came in to make a hit and leave. So they're going to leave. So I put their money down if I wanted to keep them. If not, pay them anything you want and then be prepared to replace them all, which I would vote for the number two, not number one. That's my opinion.
I think it depends on what we talked about. What time frame are you trying to solve for?
Right.
Which gets back to what is the exit strategy for the company, because
you've got to get this company with less debt and more profitability. Go ahead.
So if we're going to describe what the management team is doing is executive extortion. I guess we're going to describe what the owners did as bait and switch.
Yeah, bait and switch and greed. Yeah.
And so you're okay with bait and switch.
Yeah. So let me be clear, all right? When I look at the transaction promised in the front, there's no time frame there, is that correct?
It says they expected to sell the business in 2018. It's a time frame of
who expected to sell? That's the management team expected.
No, it's not the owners who are saying, hey, when you're talking to the guy, if you're talking to hiring in executives, they're going to say, so when do you think about selling the company?
Right.
Well, this is now, we're talking about 2013. Yeah, you're saying, hey, you know, probably about three years.
It doesn't sound like that was a written document.
Wasn't
a written document.
I'll say it's a I would say it's a written document.
We're the lawyers when we needed them.
Exactly. Exactly. Any good lawyers in town here in this office?
Mike, you brought up a good point because, you know, yeah, they've raised the equity $5 million. Where are they putting the money?
Yeah.
So they may be selling more, but are they collecting anything? Because where's the cash go?
It's, there's a disequilibrium between your point.
You see the income state going, but it also looks like the balance sheet's growing pretty quickly. You just can't tell.
But you know, the interesting thing I see in more boards is conversations about the numbers but missing one thing. Why? Can we talk about why did the discounts and allowances, our cost of sales go up? Let's have a conversation about that because we need to understand in order to be able to address the questions. Maybe what happens is that in order to really go heavy into the digital market, they had to compete against an Amazon, and if they're going to try to play the retail game, they're going to lose. So they had to go digital. But you can't always charge what you can charge. So you're going to take a discounting price in order to be able to. And their volume could have been increasing, their unit value, which there's a lot of data here that we don't even know yet. So, you know, what's the unit volume like? What's the unit cost like? What's that, you know, the things that could have been happening here that are really, you know, that was necessary to make a shift.
Well, the other
or maybe
thing
not.
Kind of interesting, you know, yes, the discounts are increasing, but the margins are holding fairly steady.
Right,
they're
right.
Within 1 point.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not like you're giving up a lot of price.
Right.
You don't, to me, the gross sales price is somewhat of a arbitrary number. It's the net price that everyone cares about. The discounts, you know,
it indicate
the
that channel. What it may see from my nose, it says it's highly possible next year's margin's going down.
Well,
that's maybe. I don't know the
answer. But I would argue counter that with quite a lot of debt went on in the last year, 2017, and I assume that that's
what's it for.
In the textile industry, I assume it's production.
And a lot of digital marketing, a lot of digital. So, yeah.
As a non-financial person, and I'm a people person here, but I'm listening to the argument you're making, and you're saying that maybe the company didn't improve as much as the management team is trying to convince you, and you're pointing out. Were you making the same argument to the owners when they said, oh, the company's doing so great, we're not going to sell it anymore? Doesn't that same argument apply there? What caused them to decide all of a sudden we're not going to sell the company?
So I read that sentence differently than you're all reading it. And Tom and I discussed this up front. A significant improvement in the firm's profitability and growth, but significant debt increases, all right, which means the value of the company went down. That's how I read that sentence. So what the owners were expecting was here, based on $2.9 million or whatever the number is, as a people person, and the value went way down. That's how I read the sentence. Now, a lot of you have read the sentence that somebody got greedy. I don't know which sentence is right, but I have to be honest. I read it to say owners thought it was here, management thought the value was here, and damn what, they didn't deliver. That's
one
way.
If the debt was taken on, was it? Yeah, the debt was taken on in order to make the investments necessary to rebuild that business.
Yeah, right.
And that they weren't doing it to have a party, or they weren't doing it for operating expenses. They were doing it to launch the business. So the owners knew what the debt was going for.
It seems like
Now they're seeing growth and opportunities, and they say, "Hey, you know, our future is going to look really bright. I've got a couple of young folks, my family coming up."
We're missing some other pieces because somebody mentioned also EBITDA, right?
Yeah.
So if you've got a whole bunch of plant, if all that capital went to plant, if you add back the D,
right,
the depreciation, that operating profit number may be much higher, but we just don't know.
And Chris, we'll get to Chris and come back to you, Rob.
It seems like there's kind of two narratives here. One is the control issue and you know, that kind of thing. And then there's this other one where the company seems to be pivoting.
Yeah.
And to the extent the company's pivoting, it seems like whether they discuss this explicitly between management, family, and board or not, it seems like there is a thesis that if it's both to bring adult management back in and pivot the company, then there was an expectation that those two things would take until about 2018. I can't tell, I've read back through this a couple times, I can't tell if the reason why, you know, significant improvement for profitability, et cetera, is that implying that the thesis that the end line was 2018 was wrong and we need a couple more years, mm-hmm. because that's commensurate with all the stuff that's in that sentence. Or is it that some, you know, people got greedy or they got hasty or whatever? I can't tell, but that, I mean, that seems to be a pivotal issue.
Yeah, so what,
what's the Paul Harvey on it?
He has a comment.
So this is a low growth business, right? I'm selling towels and luxury fabrics,
right.
And maybe
solid
I'm growing
business.
A little bit faster
Made in
than GDP.
Right.
And if GDP is going faster in China and parts of the world where luxury goods are growing, I grow a little faster. Mm-hmm. But this is not a high growth business.
Yeah.
It's just not. Mm-hmm. Now, the fact that they've grown faster than the market, top line, before discounts allowance, that's good news. To answer your question, the discounts allowance may be that I had to do more to make it attractive for the retailers. Most of them are drowning, trying to figure out the online and
physical presence.
And I also may have had to incur greater marketing costs because my brand is getting lost in the store, because if I turn it over to, God forbid, I've got these things in Sears. Unlikely, but, you know, who's going to Sears?
Mm-hmm.
People
right.
are running from them.
Right.
So I may have to throw more money into this to make it go.
Getting back into Bloomingdale's was going to have to, getting back any customer that was a large size was going to take these discounts.
Yep.
I think also some of the smoke in this background is that the youngsters who are already in the company, I assume, mm-hmm. 4 years later, they're now a little more interested mm-hmm. in the company mm-hmm. and would like to make a run at it some years. And
yeah.
I think that the management team probably smells that out as part of their disappointment that, you know, their training.
Yeah,
their
right. They're training their successors.
They're training their successors, and any day now, you know,
yeah.
they're
yeah.
out
yeah.
without
yeah.
the carrots.
Yeah.
Okay. He asked for the Paul Harvey moment. Can I give you at least mine?
I'm
unless somebody
hand
up.
I didn't comment
because
he hasn't commented yet, though.
I mean, I just one thing that was missing from all this is that if you kind of say at this stage that, you know, these guys are holding under our heads, so let them walk, what's the impact of the business? Is this thing going to crash? Or given that you've now spent about 4 years building this up, is there a second line of management
mm-hmm.
that can step in?
Mm-hmm.
That has a big impact on whether
mm-hmm.
you're going to say, I'm going to negotiate something here,
mm-hmm.
keep these guys,
right.
or do I just say, hey, you know what? You know, this is my offer, and everything people have said in terms
right.
of operating performance and all that is fine. Based on that, you come to an offer and say, you know what, this is what's on the table. Based on this business, you can take it or leave it, because the business is not going to crash.
Yep.
But if it's going to crumble, if these guys leave, different ballgame.
It's called three-dimensional chess.
Right.
Yeah. yeah.
The Mr. Paul?
Well,
he's going to be a timekeeper.
For if there is a God, and I can prove it, I've got a client that is in the premium fabrics business.
Uh-huh.
So one of the things that I'm learning about this industry, which I knew nothing about, is that in order to be successful, particularly as a CEO, you have to be both an artist and a very smart business guy.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're only an artist, you're going to get screwed. And if you're only a smart business guy, you're not going to make it any both. So this CEO is not necessarily easily replaced.
He's not really what?
He's not. My own feeling is that, you know, make the compromises, change
yep.
the compensation,
yep.
expect the person to leave anyway in
yep.
3 years. And you're gonna have to probably gonna replace this person, but it's not gonna be easy to find that. If you're in the premium space, it's not gonna be easy.
Well, we do know a really good search firm that they
yeah.
do. Let's be really clear about it. This is called subliminal. So
are you suggesting doubling their salaries?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought
no. Our team said pay them medium and then
yeah.
probably some sort of phantom shares
yeah.
based
yeah.
on
yeah.
three years.
Yeah. Okay.
But so my point of view is, as a director, now put my director hat on. You two guys had an interesting difference So I would suspect that if you have the point of view that this is extortion, and the rest of the board doesn't have that point of view, they agree with a lot of you, I think one of the things you need to think about is resigning from the board. Because if you've had the point of view, you've just been through extortion, you know extortion's coming again, that's a time in which you've got to decide whether you can be a director of a company in which the management is extorting. Or, if you want to believe the other side, the shareholders are extorting. You take your choice. But if you're in disagreement with the board on this fundamental issue, I think as directors, you ought to think about putting in your resignation, because that's not a comfortable position, I would suggest.
Either way.
Either way.
So the answer to the story is that three things happened. One was a dial down of the emotional.
Excuse me for 1 second. May I?
Go ahead.
I'm trying to take in your comment, Wes. It's a very interesting one, but I must say it reminds me of the Donald Trumpism of saying, I really like people, I like to surround myself with people who disagree with me, and then anybody who disagrees with me gets rid of.
I'm not making any comments.
So well, you know, I can rather be
I've always been a big believer in having groups of people where there's a lot of disagreement.
You
come up with really good solutions.
Extortion is not the same as disagreement.
Right. So let me kind of bring this, because I'm watching the clock. I'm going to bring us a conversation. So what happened in this story? And it's a still work in process, as any of these things are. This is 2018. This is still a work in process. So a couple of things that were critical. One was an intervention to dial down both parties in terms of the feeling of being extorted and the feeling of being greed. So both people had to dial down their emotional stuff, because there was this, to your point, this communication trust is critical. And the recognition that, hey, we're going to work together to make this company successful. We want you to benefit. We're going to benefit from all of it together. So
what
there was
did you
a,
do to dial it down?
Hmm?
Like, what specifically did you do to dial it down?
Conversations. Just sitting down and saying, that's bullshit, let's talk. You know, and you have conversations about it.
Like
so a lot of it is
like
just
you
not
do with your spouse.
And also, I would say, bringing in a third party who both sides agree is objective,
right.
Which is why I wasn't being facetious when I said the board should hire you as the objective third party.
Yeah, or
and then
people like.
And then see if the blood pressure comes down.
Yeah, right. If it doesn't work, then if they choose to go to their respective corners, have a nice day and, you know, duke it out and may the best person win. So that was the first issue, was to dial down the emotional stuff. Second issue was, yeah, they had to make some changes to compensation and the cash, both in terms of salary adjustments and some bonus adjustments, but not anywhere near what these guys were looking for. So the answer to that question was no. But we'll do some, because, yeah, you're a little below market, we'll make some adjustments and that's cool. We'll get a little more aggressive on the bonus plan. That's cool. We'll, you know, but not to what you're talking about. Third piece, to Larry's point, I think is right on, is that part of the issue is this was in doing long-term incentives, there's this range from a promise to a well-crafted legal document, right? And there's a bunch of things in between. This was a promise. In fact, Les actually pointed out, if you'll notice, there are two different things. One was 10% of the net proceeds or 10% of the value of the company. Which one is it? Because those are two different metrics. And one would say one thing and the other would hear the other. So part of the get yourself a good lawyer or design consultant, if you will. So part of the issue was to develop a long-term plan that was to the point of really, that's really reflecting of the value of the interest. And also, not starting it on 1918, because these guys have been there, start your benchmark point back at 2013 when they started. So they get some appreciation in the value that has accrued so far. But the real value, because it's not going to be 10%, what they would think about in terms of dollars is not going to occur in 2018 if they sold the company. But it may occur in 2020 or 25. But the issue would be, we don't have to sell the company in order for it. Now, we may have to fund a long-term payout for folks, but you know what? If we take this company from, you know, I'll call it a $100 million business to a $150 million business, or to a $200 million business, or to a $500 million business, there's going to be plenty of money to pay these guys off. But a long-term plan that then actually had some some clarity to it. So it's dealing with the issues, it's addressing some of the issues that people have, and getting really clear about a plan that will work for the future. Some will stay, some will go. If they leave, sorry.
Was there a vesting period?
Oh yeah, all that stuff.
85.
Well, it's an, the issue is there's it's a vesting period, but also a you can't sell it when you want to get vested, because we don't want you to sell it, because it comes out of our coffers. We want you to own it. So there's a trick around how you created the unit value and that kind of stuff. So I'm going to get into a lot of details on it, because it's that's for the next workshop. But wanted to say, welcome to Jurassic Park. Thank you very much.
Very interesting.
I think the issue is, okay, what do you believe management meant by the extortion?
I do.